I do not usually use my position either as pastor or in this case as the preacher in front of the congregation to hawk spiritual wares. But this morning I want to do that. This morning's sermon came out of my heart after it was profoundly moved by Max Lucado's book, Traveling Light. I would encourage you, get this, read it, allow the Spirit of God to touch your heart. This is a work on the 23rd Psalm, and I have never, in all of the things that I have read, in all the messages I have heard, in all the messages that I have been involved in preaching, I have never heard the 23rd Psalm presented in such a remarkable way as that done by Max Lucado in Traveling Light. This morning's message is titled Switchback. Switchback. And I trust that it will prove to be a major turning point, not only in our direction as individuals, but also in our direction as a body of believers. Yesterday, Caleb and I went for a drive. We ended up in Crown King. On the way back, I was explaining to him all of the various warning signs along that long dirt trail. There was one in particular that captivated his attention. It was a sign warning of a reverse in direction, symbolized by that 180-degree curve, black curve on a yellow background. It was a sign that we call a switchback. A switchback, as you're driving along the road, on one side there is an extreme mountain range, and on the other side, a precipice. But when you reach that switchback, suddenly the precipice is no longer on the right, it's on the left. It's like the whole world has changed direction. He soon came to understand the difference between a sharp curve and a switchback. And after a while, he would call out, "Switchback!" And sure enough, the scene would change from mountainside to panoramic view. The scriptural word for switchback is repentance. Repentance. And just as there are many switchbacks on that highway to Crown King, so too, on our highway to crown the king, there are switchbacks. Psalm 23. Follow along with me as I read just the first several verses. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thus saith the Lord. This whole passage hinges on one phrase. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Look at it this way. Before we can walk the path of righteousness, we need our soul restored. Before we can walk without fear in the valley of the shadow of death, we need soul restoration. Before we can experience the comfort of the shepherd's rod and his staff, we need soul restoration. Before we can experience the wonders of his table in the presence of our enemies, we need our souls restored. Before we can enjoy the outpouring, the infilling, and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit's oil of gladness, we need soul restoration. In order to dwell in his house forever, we must have our souls restored. He restores my soul. This was written by a believer, beloved people. This was written to believers, beloved people. It's not just talking about that initial instance in time where we first come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we call our salvation experience. At that point, your soul is restored. But there are also numerous points along that highway to crowning the King that you need to have your soul restored. Because too often times, we lose our way. We become confused. Many Bible scholars believe that the soul is the seat of the emotions, the intellect, and the will. What about the emotions? Are you emotionally exhausted? Have you ever been? Have you been or are you presently on an emotional roller coaster? Is it no longer simply a matter of getting a grip, but the fact that you're overwhelmed with sorrow? Sorrow brought on by your own mistakes, perhaps, or maybe by your own shortcomings or sin. Or maybe it's sorrow because of another's dilemma. And your heart is heavy for them. Perhaps it's a combination of the two. That's the emotions. How does this speak to the intellect? Several weeks ago, we looked into James chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you aware that worry, anxiety, is a major cause of double-mindedness? The biblical word for worry comes from two Greek words. The first is merizo, and it means to divide. The other is nous, which is the Greek word for mind. So worry, in the Greek language, means to divide the mind. That's what James was talking about, beloved people, double-mindedness. Max Lucado states, and I quote, anxiety splits our energy between today's priorities and tomorrow's problems. And he didn't even talk about yesterday's guilt. What about the will? Have you ever reached a place due to emotional exhaustion and continual fretting where you just flat out didn't care. There's no more energy to even summon up an act of the will. You can no longer just will yourself out of a situation. You have become mired in the clay. Such a condition shows our need of soul restoration. And beloved people, our shepherd is the restorer of our souls. The psalmist said with complete confidence, because of his own personal experience, he restores my soul, telling us in effect that the same shepherd can do the same act for you. He brings soothing comfort to raw emotions. He brings stability to divided minds. He brings a new sense of purpose to our lack of will. And how does he do that? How does he do that? How does he restore our souls? The Hebrew word for restores is a root word that means to turn back. Hence what we're talking about this morning, switchback. But we need to understand something. He's not just turning back the clock so that you can resort to a former place of where your soul was. He's not just turning back a place so that you can return to a place in your relationship with him in a prior situation where your soul was well, healthy. Do you know what he does when he restores your soul? He takes it all the way back to before Adam's sin. When God restores our soul, he restores it utterly and completely. So it's not back to where we were before, but what he created us to be. The passage states, "The Lord is my shepherd, he restores my soul." Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. And remember our understanding of the meaning of the word Jehovah? Jehovah is the one who is. And Jehovah is the one who causes. He not only is in the fact that he is self-existent, but he is behind every cause that we see in effect. He's the one who causes. And this scripture tells us that he causes us to lay down in green pastures. Awesome concept. He's not only the cause of my being in the place of the green pasture, he's the cause of the green pasture. Let me ask you some questions. You know, Scripture talks about us as being sheep. We recognized before that this is not necessarily a compliment. But let's just swallow that, being it as it is, and let's look at it a little bit further. How many sheep have you seen wearing saddlebags? Have you ever heard of a pack sheep? How about a prospector sheep? Ridiculous concept, isn't it? Do you know why? Because it is obvious that they're not equipped for it. They are equipped to lie down in green pastures. They are equipped to produce wool. They are equipped to produce more sheep. They were never designed to carry heavy burdens, ever. Amen. Neither were we. That's why we're like sheep. How do you feel with your burden? Don't tell me you don't have one. We are masters at carrying our burden. How do you feel? Weighed down? Sluggish? Tired? Weary to the bone? Have you considered that your burden was carried by the shepherd? Multiply how you feel with your burden by 6 billion. And that's just the population of the world today. Add to that all of the individuals who have lived and died, all of the souls that have lived and died from the time of Adam. Take the accumulation of all of their burdens, whatever they be, how extent they be, and put them all on Jesus. Is it any wonder he stumbled on the road to Golgotha? Is it any wonder that his back was bowed with that weight? Why, that is a weight that only a God could carry. And he did. We couldn't. We can't even adequately carry our own, much less someone else's. Our own disappointments, our own failures, our own regrets, our own guilt. Did it break his back? No. But it crushed his heart. That load of ours severed that relationship he had enjoyed with his Father for eternity past. On that cross, when he bore our sins, the light went out, and he couldn't live in darkness, beloved people. So as Max Lucado says, he would rather die than to live in eternity without you. And he did. He is called in Isaiah the man of sorrows. Scripture says that he bore our grief and he carried our sorrows. Have you ever considered that? Why did Jesus bear our grief? So we wouldn't have to. Why did he carry our sorrows? So we wouldn't have to. And yet here we are, carrying these burdens of grief and of sorrow. No wonder we're like sheep. He not only causes us to lie down in green pastures, he leads us beside still waters. A little over a week ago, I was feeling overwhelmed at all the turmoil in our nation, overwhelmed at the lack of life and the subsequent turmoil in our church. Overwhelmed by the turmoil in my own thoughts. It wasn't calm water for sure. It was more like that raging sea that the disciples were faced with when Jesus slept in the boat. Some of the things I had wanted to see happen didn't. Some of the things I didn't want to see happen did. And there was turmoil. And what I wanted as a Christian minister was to be able to stand before you and say that God had granted me perfect peace in that time of turmoil. And it didn't happen. Instead, there was suddenly still water. A quiet pool, not a ripple in the pond. And instead of enjoying it, I found myself fretting. Because of my perceived loss of a failed vision, my perceived loss of an unfulfilled dream, I found myself experiencing disappointment in not having been able to overcome. I went to bed that night with a heavy heart, weary to my soul. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't know it then, but I was lying down in green pastures. I was about to experience the restoration of my soul. Sometime long before dawn, I awoke with these words coursing through my mind. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. In the solitude and darkness amidst the tattered remnants of my despair, I asked him why I couldn't overcome. Why I couldn't just experience his peace in the midst of the turmoil. There are those times, you know, but not this time. Do you know what he said to me? In order to restore your soul, I needed to calm your storm. In order to restore your soul, I needed to still the water. And instead of being like Jesus, asleep with a fully restored soul in the midst of a storm, I was like the disciples. And Jesus came and calmed the storm and restored my soul. Beloved people, his desire is the health of our souls. His desire is the health of our souls over our physical health. His desire is the health of our souls over our financial health. Priority one with our shepherd is the health of our soul. It's the reason he bore our burden. It's the purpose of the green pastures and the still waters. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest." Then he said this, "Unto your soul." Emotional rest, intellectual rest, rest for your will. You shall find rest unto your soul. And in the midst of the noise that surrounds us and the turmoil of life comes the voice of the shepherd of our souls proclaiming, "Switch back." And lo and behold, as we make that turn, stretched out before us is the beauty of that valley, the contentment of that lush green valley bordering a quiet lake. And we hear him whisper, "Come, come." Do you know how a sheep lies down? It's not like my dog, Josh. When Josh lies down, it's one of two ways. He either has his forelegs and his back legs completely splayed out in front and back, or he's over on his side. But when a sheep lays down, they fold their legs under them. They bend the knee. Beloved people, if we want to enjoy the contentment of that lush green valley, if we want to be able to get up on our feet and walk to the quiet waters, we have to bend our knee to the shepherd. There's no other course. Will you bend your knee? How will you answer his call when he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul." Green pastures, still waters, give us the rest that we need for our soul. As our praise team comes and we continue in our time of worship, at a strategic point in that time, we're going to be offering to you an opportunity to come. When that invitation is given, hear it as God calling out to you, as a good shepherd calling out to you, "Switch back." And you make your way to the front and kneel in humility before God. Shall we sing together?
Wow. I don't know about you, but my spirit was not either equipped or expected to carry those burdens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to change the pace a little bit. We're going to ask you to stand. We hope you've had a good night's rest. These first songs are very fast. Very exciting, very, okay. He is Jehovah.
Sing hallelujah,
he is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, he
God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth me. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, our God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth me. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.